ESPN 1000, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
This is Carmen and Yurko
on WMPP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Hope everyone had a nice weekend. The White Sox sure did. Could have been even better if they could have completed the comeback on a feisty, fiery Saturday afternoon in the Bronx. That didn't happen, but propelled them to a doubleheader sweep yesterday after the rainout on Friday.
It did seem to propel them, didn't it? The controversy.
We've been waiting for something, you know.
Didn't know what it was going to be.
Thought it was that Angel comeback, remember, a couple of Sundays ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that did for a little. Like, it got them going in the right direction.
Right. Something seemed to super focus this baseball team.
You know, they went in coming back in that Kansas City game. What was that, on Thursday? They went into that series in the Bronx at least having come back from in that Kansas City game where they were down 4-1 early, staring down the barrel and, you know, dropping potentially 3 out of 5. They came back. They won that game. They did lose Saturday, but yesterday was fantastic. And I don't know if it was something that galvanized them. I mean, maybe it helped a little. Sometimes you just have...
Something brought them together. Whether you like it or not, something did do something.
Well, and sometimes starting pitchers just go out there and pitch well. Yeah. I mean, Johnny Cueto, like, and I think Connor made the point when he was on with us on Friday.
It's been a godsend.
Yeah. And not like even cunning and guile Johnny Cueto, where kind of like you can watch Dallas Keuchel starts now, or even when he pitches well.
This is rock and fire, Johnny Cueto.
This is like rock 94 and with movement and great biting, breaking stuff. And like, yeah, this is rock and fire. Like, you could watch Dallas Keuchel grind through 5 innings and maybe go, wow, I can't believe he only gave up a run. There were guys on base constantly. I mean, how is he doing it? That's not this. I don't know that it will last either. I'm not saying that because
there's no guarantees. Yes,
right,
obviously.
There's not. I don't know that it'll last. The guy's, you know, older. He's come off injury in the last couple of years. He wasn't, you know, the Sox signed him to a minor league deal, for crying out loud, right? Or however they structured that thing where he got to choose by May 15th whether he was going to be here or not. Like, it was...
Well, if you didn't make a decision, he got to leave.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean, he conditioned himself to a point where other teams could take a look at him, and if you weren't going to activate him, then he's going to be able to go wherever he wanted.
So I don't know that this can continue, but wow, like, Yurko nailed it. He's been a godsend for them. In the two starts that he's made. To do that in Yankee Stadium against that lineup, it was fantastic. And then Michael Kopech, I mean, what can we say here about Michael Kopech and how well he's pitched? He's got a 1.29 ERA. He's pitched 42 innings. He's not going to pitch 170. I get it. He's not. He leads the league. He hasn't given up a home run, first of all. He leads the league in hits per nine. He's hard to hit. He's got an ERA plus a 2.92. He's missing bats. He's at about a strikeout per inning.
He had a perfect game going there for a while.
He did. He had, so I think,
5 2/3, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Did they make the point on the television broadcast, or was I listening to Len at that point? I can't remember now, because Len went back to do radio. Like, I think he had 9 perfect innings against the Yankees going back to last week, right? they don't add it that way. They don't count it that way. But how about that, Jurg?
He pitched a perfect game over two games.
He pitched a perfect game over two games.
It's like a reliever that does it like in 9 straight times against the team over the course of a year. He doesn't give up a hit or a walk. He's pitched a perfect game against them over the 9 games.
I mean, he's been fantastic. What Cueto has brought to them has been fantastic. They've had a whirlwind here. Now they get to take their, you know, you end up getting a day off Friday, but it's a rain out. Like, now you've got a whole day off. You are back home. Enjoy the beautiful day. Recharge. I know it's still a little cool for people this late in May, but it's nice. I'll term this beautiful. I mean, the sun is shining. Enjoy the day. You've got a Boston team that is suddenly playing better. Ever since they left Boston, I think Boston's won 8 out of 10. So Boston's finally started to pick it up a little bit, pick up the pace, and look, they're talented. I don't know what those first 3 weeks were. It seems to be a Boston trend. It's like the first 40 games for the Celtics before they decided, hey, we're better than this. I don't know what's going on, but Boston's going to be in town now for 3. I think it'll be a more difficult series. I think Boston's playing better. Then you've got the Cubs for a couple with another day off this week. So take advantage, recharge a little. But it's time to go. I mean, the Twins aren't going to give this thing up easy, it doesn't look like. They had a big comeback yesterday. They're still four games clear of the White Sox. Sox have won six of their last 10. Twins won better, 7-10, to stretch that lead to four games. So I don't know that it's going to be easy or as easy as all of us thought. But here we go now. Don't fall back below 500. That'd be my, as a White Sox fan, what's the one thing I'd ask for right now?
It's your goal.
Yeah, don't fall back below. Don't lose two out of three to Boston now. Don't split or lose the series, the two games to the Cubs.
You're
this
tired
weekend.
Of treading water.
Thank you. Like, let's see if they
tired
can actually hit it now. Can they actually hit it? And we'll see. Now, what got them going? First of all, they've had a problem here with Josh Donaldson in the past. I think a lot of teams have had a problem with Josh Donaldson. He's one of those guys that doesn't seem well liked by his own teammates, by the other team. He's just one of those guys. Terrific player in his prime. I'm sure the Yankees are happy to have his skill set, even if they're not happy to have Josh Donaldson, the guy in the clubhouse. Again, this is nothing new. This has followed Josh Donaldson around throughout the course of his career. He's always rubbed teammates and opponents the wrong way.
I think they wish they had the Josh Donaldson of 8 years ago.
I'm sure they did.
As opposed to the one they have right now.
But he's still a guy that, like, any moment can come up and break a big home run for you and can kind of carry you offensively for 10 days if you need it. You know, I think he still has that talent in him. But most people probably know the big dust-up that happened on Saturday, and it led to Yasmani Grandal. I don't know how, like, did we figure out the genesis of all that? Like, did T.A. say something to the guys back in the dugout?
I'm sure that's the way it had to happen.
Probably the way it happened.
What happened? They had a conversation at shortstop, right, after he was off second base? There was a conversation there?
Yeah, Donaldson had called him Jackie, meaning Jack Robinson. It's something he's done many times over the years, as he explained. And apparently, I don't think T.A. backed away from that either.
Right.
You know, it is something he has
said. It just chapped his ass this time.
Maybe because of last weekend.
Could be. But it chapped his ass this weekend.
Chapped his ass this time. Yasmani Grandal said something to him that led to the mini certainly wasn't a brawl. It wasn't that at all. It
was a brouhaha.
A bench clearing situation.
A brouhaha.
Brouhaha.
Nothing coming out of a brouhaha.
Yeah, but nothing, dirty, nasty that happened in that moment anyway.
And then La Russa, in a post-game interview, decided to give his thoughts and said that it was a racist comment.
Right, correct. This might be the one from yesterday, actually. Here's T.A. I'm going to play some of this. By the way, before I do that.
Please do.
I will give Tony La Russa a compliment, and I don't do that often. I think I hinted at this actually at times last year.
Okay, you're going to pay a compliment.
Right?
Yeah, I'm actually shocked right now. Tony La Russa is going to get paid a compliment.
I did do it like twice last year.
Should have a sounder for this when Carmen does it.
I will. I know. I will compliment him on this. I think Tony cares very much about that clubhouse and that dugout. And I do think, and I guess this has always been Tony, because players have said that. You know, even when it was so odd when they were hiring him 18 months ago, whatever it was, like I think he really does care, which I like. I think he is not afraid to go out of his way to stand up for his guys. There are many things I don't like about this hire. There are many strategical things, strategy. That drive me absolutely crazy. Do I think some of the modern game has passed him by?
His lineups drive me a little crazy.
I think Tony genuinely cares. I don't think it's a show. I don't think it's a front. I think these players sense that, and that's why they like him, I think, even more than they thought they would. I do. As much as the Yermín Mercedes thing annoyed me last year, I think that's just the old school in Tony La Russa. I wish that had never happened, but I do think he cares. And I appreciate, and I think the White Sox really appreciate how much he sticks their neck out for them. Like, I don't know if you get that same sense. I don't know if you watch it as closely because you're a Cub fan, but I don't know if the guys feel that way too. I mean, Blackie, you're a White Sox fan. I mean, for all the ranting and raving that I can do about La Russa, and I'll do plenty of it, I'm sure, as the rest of the season goes by, I do appreciate that one aspect of how he handles difficult situations within that clubhouse, whether it's something they're dealing with internally or it's them versus somewhere else. I do think he cares.
It does seem like he backs up his guys.
Yes.
But I just wonder, like, would another manager not do that?
Fair. Could the next guy just have easily been doing it?
Like, do we only put a spotlight on it because we come into it with the idea of maybe he can't relate to young players.
Maybe that's
so. Then we see it,
why.
And we're like, oh yeah, of course he would. Yeah, they get along. Oh yeah, they like each. Oh yeah, sure, they're playing for him. Oh yeah, he sticks up for the younger. Yeah,
and it's not like you go to the second man in charge, the guy in waiting to take over when Tony La Russa finally does fall asleep on the bench. That guy's there, but you can't ask him because he can't speak for Tony La Russa. So that's why. You know, okay, Tony's going to stick up for his guys.
Maybe he backs you up unless your name's Jermaine Mercedes.
Right, exactly.
That's the only guy.
That was the only
guy. Countless times, too. They even asked him this year, too, about him. And he's like, well, you know,
I think
we got a full roster, so sorry. Like, he's coming. He's healthy soon. But, like, nah, we got a full roster. We're good.
Like, that's it. The minute like, Jermaine broke
the old...
He
just doesn't like Jermaine.
Well, he broke an old baseball rule, and he's got old philosophies in certain things. But, yeah, as long as your name is not Jermaine Mercedes, he does seem... And maybe Chris is right. It's only because we thought for sure he'd be this hard-ass old school, you got to do it this way and that way. And, you know, with few exceptions, I don't think he's been that, and it's been a little bit of a surprise. This was La Russa. I'm sorry, this is Tim Anderson post-game on Donaldson's comments with the question and answer.
Timmy, able to take us through what went on there with Donaldson and that?
Yeah, he just made a disrespectful comment. Basically, was, trying to call me Jackie Robinson. Like, what's up, Jackie? I don't play like that. I don't really play at all. I wasn't really, bothering nobody today, but, he made a comment, and, it was disrespectful, and I don't think it was called for. It was unnecessary.
That was when you guys crossed past the shortstop there at the end of the third?
Yeah, but that happened in the first. The first time he got on, and I spared him that time, and then it happened again. It was just, just uncalled for. I got time to, be playing like that.
How did you manage to contain yourself based on that kind of comment?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know, to be honest. It was very disrespectful, I don't want to play like that.
You call it disrespectful. Tony just said it was racist. Is that accurate?
Yeah, same along that same line, yeah.
Here was Donaldson's side of the story, because he did not, he did confirm what Tim Anderson had said. That is exactly what he had said to him. Here's Josh Donaldson trying to give some backstory.
All right, so first inning, I called him Jackie. So let me give you a little context of that. 2019, he came out with an interview, said that he's a new Jackie Robinson of baseball. He's going to bring back fun for the game, right? And 2019, when I played for Atlanta, we actually joked about that on the game. I don't know what's changed from, and I've said it to him in years past, not in any manner than just joking around for the fact that he called himself Jackie Robinson, if something has changed from that, like, my meaning of that is not at any term trying to be racist by any fact of the matter. It was just off of an interview that what he called himself. And when we said that before, we joked about it, he laughed, whatever. As you could tell in our series that we've played, there's been multiple times where I've tried to defuse the situation. Like, I took responsibility for the tag, wasn't trying to do anything there. Like, today, just trying to defuse it, like, hey, like, make light, like, hey, we're not trying to start any brawls or anything like that. Obviously, he deemed that it was disrespectful, and look, if he did, I apologize. Like, that's not what I was trying to do by any manner. That's what happened.
What could have changed could have been what we said, the incident last weekend. That could have changed. Yeah. I wouldn't expect to hear Josh Donaldson say that to him anymore, because now Tim Anderson has made his opinion very clear on it. He doesn't like it. I think these
Tony La Russa made it very clear.
Well, I think
on what the thought was. And then Tim Anderson then agreed with Tony La Russa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I don't think these teams like each other. They're not going to play each other again unless they meet in the playoffs. They won't face each other again. I think Donaldson, I find it a little curious when he says, I was just trying to defuse the situation. I don't think Josh Donaldson's ever trying to defuse anything. I think he's probably the opposite. He's the igniter sometimes for his own team. It's probably why they do put up with him. I want to play a few more sound bites, like what Liam Hendricks said after the game yesterday. Liam Hendricks has never been shy of giving you his opinion. He shared a clubhouse with him, and he's never been shy of giving you his opinion on Josh Donaldson. Maybe we'll play the TLR stuff, too. 312-332-3776. If you've got a thought on the weekend, if you're just happy that the White Sox seem to be hitting their stride a little bit, if you want to talk about the pitching performances that they continue to get because they have been fantastic, 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Grab some of these phone calls here coming up. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope everyone had a really nice weekend. We're back with you all the way into about 2:30. We're going to cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie at noon. Waddle's back. I'm sorry, at 2, excuse me. Waddle's back. Just saw him walking into the building. He was waving outside the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios.
That he was.
First Midwest, a division of Old National Bank, Yurko. Watch us on Twitch live in the studio every day, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Remember, tomorrow we are out and about. It's National Brothers Day. And brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug. So let's give some hugs and drink some Brothers Bond bourbon tomorrow at Bub City Rosemont. Please come see us. We're going to have a great show, noon to 2:30. Delicious food, of course, at Bub. We'll be drinking some Brothers Bond bourbon and Ian Somerhalder, if you're familiar. And I know the ladies are very familiar with Ian Somerhalder and probably some of the guys, too. He will be in town. He will be visiting with us. Yes, he of Vampire Diaries, ladies. Come by.
He'll be there.
Him. Yes. I got to get him to sign a bottle for bourbon and bacon in the fall for the charity, for the auction, right?
You're nice. That coming back, Carm?
Of course.
Wonderful.
Yes. We should be back at Binney's this year, too, after a two-year hiatus
That'll
because
be
of COVID.
Fun. Yes. November.
November 3rd. So never too early to start thinking about bourbon and bacon.
It's true.
How was the golf outing for you guys this weekend?
It was fun.
For your brother, by the
way. It was fun. It was fun. We didn't get but 9 holes in because of the rain.
But you got the barbecue in, which was good.
Got the barbecue in. Couple of pigs. Unfortunately, the lamb frozen. Went to pick it up. The lamb, unless you want lamb popsicles.
No.
But no, we got a handful of holes in, and then we had the barbecue. And
looked great.
It was good. It was fun.
That crispy skin on the pig. My phenomenal. God, it sounded good.
Pete Vasili is the host, the Greek. They did a wonderful job. Him and his wife, Barb, and his family.
Awesome.
Cousins, extended family. All the guys are treated very well there.
I like that, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll grab some calls here in a second. I want to play Liam Hendricks. He's not been shy to... I don't think Liam's shy about much. He's talked about, in the open, his dislike, I think, for Josh Donaldson in the past. They were only teammates for 1 year together. It was back in Toronto in 2015. That was Josh Donaldson's MVP year.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about is the juice worth the squeeze? You know, sometimes it is, but I don't know that he's ever been well-liked by teammates or opponents, but he's been a great player. He was the MVP. That was the team that lost to the Royals in the ALCS, Yurk, I think, if I have that right, and then the Royals ended up winning the World Series that year. I hope I have my timeline correct.
I think you're right.
Right? I think that's right.
Right before the Cubs won.
Yeah, that's it's got to be.
2014 was San Francisco.
Good call. So yeah. 2015 would have been the Royals' year. They knocked Toronto out of the playoffs, but Donaldson was a Hendricks was a teammate of Donaldson's. Here was Liam Hendricks on Donaldson's comments after the game.
Yeah, that's completely inappropriate. And then after hearing what was said after the game, usually you have inside jokes with people you get along with, not people that don't get along at all. And so that statement right there was complete. But then again, my feelings towards the individual in question are pretty well documented, the fact that we don't get along.
Do you know what's always been the hardest thing about interviewing players in a baseball clubhouse?
Is the music.
After a win, here behind the curtain, right? I know everybody's, good for you. You covered baseball back in the day. After a win in a big league clubhouse, music is blaring. You get to jam. You get to blast the music
as long
and as loud as you want because you won. After a loss, there is no music.
Right.
The clubhouse is quite silent. And anybody that's actually seen the movie Moneyball, I don't know if that was added for dramatic effect. I don't recall ever reading that. I've read the book. I don't recall reading.
And it was pregame, too, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was post, Yurk. Mm. I'm almost positive it was after. I thought maybe I'm wrong, but Billy Bean comes in and he smashes everything up and he says, I don't know what you're cheering about. He goes, this is what losing sounds like. And he waits. Silence. Because that is the rule. In a big league clubhouse, there is no music after, and I don't think that's changed. There is no music after a loss. There's a lot of music after a win. So after
one of the
win,
one of the best parts of that soundbite is how it seems like Liam waited for the beat to drop out to swear.
Should I play it again?
And then came back in. Because you're like, because I heard that this morning and I'm listening to the music. I'm like, all right. And then the music stops, he swears, and then it kicks right back in again. I'm like, all right, Liam, okay.
I really can't hear what Liam's saying because the music's playing. Because they won, which is a good thing. So blast the music. But it was always the hardest part about interviewing players when they weren't on the dais, like in the interview room, where they usually just bring the manager out to talk. You used to always have to go up to the lockers and talk to the players there, and it could be quite challenging sometimes, as you just found out, to understand what is going on after a win. But there was Liam Hendricks' take on it. He said that's the kind of stuff that's reserved amongst competitors that have some sort of respect and fondness for one another. That's not the case for Josh Donaldson and almost anybody, so he wasn't buying his explanation post-game. Tracy's in Naperville. What's up, Tracy?
Yes, I want to make a comment on the Tim Anderson issue. My dad played in the Negro League back in the 1943 when with Satchel Paige.
Wow.
And my thing is that I believe that Tim Anderson, and this is not going to be a popular opinion, took us back, because if Jackie Robinson responded to every name he was called the way Tim Anderson did, where would the Negro League or the Negro people be in baseball today?
All right, Tracy. I mean, fair enough. That was Branch Rickey's thing about what made Jackie special and what he needed out of him, right? So thanks for the call. I don't know. I can't put my opinion is worth on the situation. I love TA. I'm biased, obviously. I can't put a lot of blame on him if he finally got annoyed to the point where, you know, he didn't want to take it anymore. First of all, TA didn't really, you know, TA didn't cause the brief little dust up on Saturday either. It was Grandal who took some issue with it.
Yeah.
And finally, I think it was just saying something to speak up for Tim, maybe. Right. I mean,
there was a conversation between the two, I think it was after the first inning.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the fifth inning is when Yasmani may have gotten to the bottom of the conversation when, you know, things were being talked about in the clubhouse or the dugout.
If, you know, and if Tia didn't want to take it anymore, he didn't want to take it anymore. If anything, I do hope that it's something that continues, like these little things that can continue to bring them together and galvanize them. And they're showing you that they're, you know, that they are a tight group. You know, that, and I think that's good. I mean, so go out and battle for one another. And maybe that did help them yesterday.
Well, they seem focused.
Yeah, a little bit more so.
It's easier to do when Michael Kopech goes out there and pitched the way he pitched.
That's very true.
Still not scoring a ton of runs.
It's very true.
But focused.
Let's go to Dave in Charlotte. Hey, Dave. Davey.
Dave.
Boy.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, what's up,
Mike? This is Dave in CLT right here.
What's happening?
From Twitch.
Oh, what's up, Dave?
Hey, so Tim Anderson, I mean, overreacted, okay? That's just my opinion. But he has every right to, because I think people forget a week ago, 2 weeks ago, what happened in Buffalo. And emotions are high in that community, and I totally understand it. And then this knucklehead who plays in New York, who's from New York State, who's there, he should have known better, antagonized that situation. So I think T.A. acted fine. I think he was mature. I just think he got a little overheated once Grandal got into it a little bit more. I think it's fine, and I think people just need to understand the situation of things are kind of crazy, and sports is a release where we just watch sports, and sometimes real life comes into sports, and that's all that happened. So I think TA is fine. I think the Sox are fine. I think people need to understand that.
Dave, thanks. Yeah, certain guys are agitators. Donaldson seems to be one of those guys that's an agitator. Just handle your business now if you're the White Sox. You know, the incident happened. You're not going to face the Yankees again unless you face them in the playoffs. Boy, that'll be interesting, won't it? You know, like, just hit go now. Like, really hit it. You know, you played a great doubleheader yesterday to give up one run in a doubleheader in the Bronx in that stadium against that lineup. Yep. And I know they lost Gallo at the last minute. You know, Gallo had to go on the COVID list right before. I think it was the first game yesterday. So, and Higashioka, I think. Not that, you know, missed his bat a ton. But, you know, they missed Gallo. But still, to give up a run, come on. Like, use it now. Let it fuel you a little bit. Like, all of it. And stop messing around. It's almost the end of May. You're four games out. You just took two out of three from the Yankees in their building. like, hit it now. You got a Boston team, like I said, that is playing much better. I don't want to see them slip back to, well, now they're 21 and 22 again, and they're below 500.
We don't want to be here 2 weeks from now, and all of a sudden this team is 30 and 30.
And you're still four games
28
out.
28 and 28.
Right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're in more of a dogfight than you thought you were going to be. I just hope that doesn't happen, that they continue, you know, all the motivation that they need is there for them. Stay together, stay focused, and go now. I sound like Cap in 16 or so. What was it? When did Cap start? It's go time.
Yeah, it'd be 16, right?
Is it 16?
115.
I felt like he was saying relax in 16.
No. Was it 16 like was fine. They won the World Series. Right. Then it was the disappointing years after that.
Was that relax?
Yes.
Then he got into it with Sylvie and kept telling him to relax. And then at one point he had to finally go, okay, now it's time to go. I don't know. But, like, it's go time, boys. So go. Let's go.
Well, how about Sylvie and Cap Wednesday morning, by the way? Don't forget. It's the last switcheroo.
Sounds exciting. I wonder who's driving that show.
You guys, were you listening this morning to this nonsense?
I was not listening to the nonsense this morning.
Well, not the program. The nonsense that Cap is trying to downplay, that this is going to be an eventful pairing of Cap and Sylvie.
I think
you guys hear this?
Can we?
He was telling Dion that they're not going to argue. They're not going to fight.
Has he come off the muscle then?
Because that's not how you promote a fight. Come on.
He should be leaning into it.
Yeah, like, thank you.
He and Sylvie should be. We should do a weigh-in and they throw the whole a few thing. Punches at each other.
But I know you guys were listening at home on the ESPN Chicago app on 100.3 HD2.
Yes.
But I could smell through the radio.
You could smell it?
Fear.
You smell fear?
I smell fear in the heart of Cap. Because that's how he puts it out there. He's like, no, I'll drive him. I'll get him coffee.
Yeah, you hear this? He's going to pick him up.
I'll
he's
do this.
Getting
I'll
him
be,
breakfast,
be great.
The whole
We're
thing.
Friends. It's going to be sunshine and puppy dog kisses.
If Sylvie's not going to allow himself to be driven into work by Cap that day, is he? There's no way.
No, God, no. He'll have to Uber home.
8 pounds of gloves. Exactly. Yeah, that can't happen. That's Wednesday. That should be fun Wednesday morning. The old switcheroo. 312-332-3776. Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Chris on Twitter said, and I thought maybe this was the case. I wasn't sure. Chris on Twitter said, Carmen, that rule has changed. I covered clubhouses and baseball eons ago. Chris was saying they play music even after losses. Now, it's a little different. Things are different, and that's fine. I don't know one way or another that you can or can't play music after a win or a loss. But I was wondering if that had changed. You know, like, it's a good question for Chuck or
it's
Connor.
It's just sad music.
It's just sad they have to play sad music.
It's Sarah McLachlan, sad dog commercial music.
Right. Yeah, like,
like The Cure, a bunch of old 80s.
In the arms of the angel or something.
Sad eyes.
Sad eyes.
Turn the other way.
You got to play sad music. You say, the Yankees were playing Bob Marley after their loss. It's not the same. And that's fine. I just know back in the old days, that's the way it used to be. But maybe it just can't be as loud and as boisterous in the clubhouse afterwards. It's always better when you win, though. That music sounds better.
You're not going to have Pitbull on.
Pitbull's
not going to be on.
Pitbull's not going to be on.
If you lose Pitbull, put Pitbull. Blah, blah, blah. Pitbull better not be on.
No. Kidding me. Mitch is in Florida. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm down here in Central Florida. I'm not going to hold your time up real quick. Right. I just saw this oversight of all these emotions that are running high in between this situation with Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson. Only thing I can say is everything was all good a couple years ago. Everything was good up until the situation where the Yankees were playing down on the south side, and then Anderson had feelings about how the call was. Donaldson had feelings. So the only thing I could say is Tim should have said, hey, guy, you and I are not cool, like a YouTuber said. We're not homies. I don't want any more comments from you. He should have just drawn the line in the sand and said, hey, you're not cool with me saying it, but I'm all right with my friends my select group can say that. So Tim's got to be careful. Everything can't be race this, race that. And like I told the guys at ESPN last night, this is minor. Two millionaires arguing over egos and testosterone feelings is no comparison to the lives that were lost in Buffalo. Outside of that, you guys have a great day in Chicago. And I'll see you guys on the flip side.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the phone call, brother. Gridiron Assassin also chimed in on Twitter, Yerk. There's a reason Donaldson's been on five teams the past five seasons. He's a knob. Thank you, Gridiron Assassin. And he gave us a picture of his game log there, showing all the different teams he's on.
I know a lot of NFL players have been on a lot of different teams. Now, they're not all knobs, are they?
I don't know.
You know, in this case, Josh. In this case, Josh Donaldson might be.
He might be.
That's for sure. I mean, he might be.
We have another pair of Bill Burr tickets to give away. So we'll do that. Let's do it like in 30 minutes or so. So be with us anytime over the next 30. How's that? We'll give away some Bill Burr tickets. He is going to be in town. Let's see. I think it's November 4th. Yeah, there it is. A pair of Bill Burr tickets for Friday, November 4th. Start planning early. That's going to be a fun way to kick off that weekend at the UC to see Bill Burr. He's very funny. So we gave away a pair of tickets on Friday. We'll give away another pair, like I said, sometime in the next 30 minutes. I don't want to, like, scoop anybody that wanted to nominate Justin Thomas for the Pride Store Player of the Weekend, and we can kick around that nomination a little bit later. But congrats to JT for winning his second major championship and winning the PGA. I got to be honest, I wasn't all that dialed into it this weekend, Yerk. I just wasn't. I watched a little bit yesterday. I watched a little bit yesterday. I watched coming down the stretch, and it was fun to see them go to a
play. He struggled on the front side. He came back on the back, yeah.
You know, I think Merkin said at one point when he was seven shots off the lead, it was like 100-1, obviously, for JT to win, and he won it. After the stat we told you about on Friday where the 36-hole leader was a perfect 10-for-10 at tournaments at Southern Hills, I did put a small bet down on Will Zalatoris at +250. Came up just a little bit short, unfortunately. But I was like, why not? Why not play the trend? It didn't happen. He did make his way into the playoff. You got to feel for Mito Pereira. Am I saying his name right? Mito Pereira?
I'll guess it's right.
I'd never heard of
him. The Chilean.
Yes, the Chilean. I'd never heard of him before this weekend. I don't watch as much golf as Merkin. And Merk said, come on. Yeah, you didn't hear him? And I was like, who's
it? I have not heard of him either.
By the way, Luke Pergandy from PropSwap sent me on Saturday. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, ready?
Yes.
This sold on PropSwap on Saturday. Someone had the wherewithal, I don't know how, $55 ticket at Mito Pereira to win at odds of +575. So he made a sweet little profit. He cashed a $55 ticket, right? That's what he meant. That's what he invested. He sold it for nearly $1,700. He turned $55 into $1,700. He did the smart thing and didn't wait it out because he lost.
And the guy that bought it for $1,700 turned it into zero.
Unless he reflipped it. Correct.
Could have been reflipped it.
He could have flipped it. But then
somebody would have bought it for zero. You know, they would have bought it for a lot and made nothing.
That's why PropSwap is great. Right. And that's why we always tell you, just unload it. And he might have been, like, the guy who sold it might have been like, he's on the 18th tee with the lead. And
all the guys buying the Justin Thomas tickets for nothing, you know? $50 ticket, I bought it for $65,
God. The minute he put it in the water, what's the guy doing? I mean, it wasn't quite Vandeveld, it wasn't that, but it was like, oh, no. And it was such an awkward swing. It was almost like, what was that?
I think even he looked at it and said, I can't identify what I just did.
To have it all come undone, like on the 18th like that, like he handled the pressure most of the day. He never lost the lead, right? And up until the very end, like, and, you know, good for him. He did an interview with Amanda Bellionis afterwards. Yeah. Like, good on you. You know, it reminded us of, like, Norman in 96 actually walking out and still addressing the media after he blew it at the Masters. Like, good on you. Good for you. But, oof, that was painful. I don't know. Golf's in a tough spot, too, man. Is there anybody watching that yesterday?
I was communicating with guys, and the guy goes, it doesn't feel like a major. It didn't feel like a major until the end when it got close. Then it felt like a major. There's not a lot of romance with Southern Hills.
No. It's in the middle of nowhere.
It's not Shinnecock.
No, I know.
You know, it's not all these. It's not, what's the course that's in Pennsylvania with the
Oakmont,
church views?
Right?
Yeah, there's 1,000 other courses that have been played on that have some, real kind of romance
to
it.
It's not Pebble Beach.
Southern Hills,
right?
What?
Yeah.
Southern what? Huh? Southern Hills? I'm supposed to get excited about a course
in Tulsa.
Oklahoma?
In Tulsa, Yurko.
I think they kind of made their own bed there when they made the decision to go out there.
Yeah, you could be right.
And I know they've got like an affinity to go back to some places that have treated them well in the past. But that's why. I mean, there's not one signature course on that hole I can remember at the end of it all.
It's a pretty looking course, but I mean, it's I can see what you're talking about today.
Like I could say, okay, the 17th is reachable.
Yeah.
Okay, today I can. But you ask me a year from now, I won't remember one damn hole.
Yeah.
Pebble Beach, you know. Masters, you know.
Sure.
You know, Shinnecock.
Yeah.
You know.
Wingfoot.
Yeah.
That's
there's something about Pinehurst. It that you do remember. Oh, boy.
You know Pinehurst
2024.
Well.
You kidding me?
Is that when it's going back?
That's when it's going back, 2024. Wow.
Not bad.
Pinehurst number two.
Yeah, it's like golf's in a tough spot, man. I don't know what kind of draw that is. I don't even know what the ratings look like. I can't imagine.
Party starts at the greens at Pinehurst, kid.
What does that mean?
That's 40 where it gets yards hard? In. That's where the party starts.
Is that right?
Yeah, it just looks like a regular North Carolina golf course.
And then?
Until you get to the greens.
Wow.
And then it's John Daly-esque, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Kick my damn ball and walk off the course.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yes, that's the fun times.
Nobody wants that.
All the caddies pointed out, too.
Carmen. Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, it's Carmen and Yurko. We're coming right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
After one, I want to talk a little bit about the conference finals in the NBA in the East and the West. Big game 4 in Boston tonight. Sounds like Jimmy Butler is going to give it a go. Tyler Hero is out, though, for the Miami Heat. I know they said that, so let's keep an eye on what happens, how effective Jimmy can be, how much he's going to play. Only played a half the other night because of a recurrence of some inflammation in one of his knees. And Miami still got the win. It was the Bam Adebayo game. In a monster game. And then Andrew Wiggins and the Warriors last night looked like they're on the verge of going back again to the finals. Incredible. So we'll spend some time after 1 o'clock talking basketball. If you still want to chime in on the White Sox, if you think this weekend will finally be the thing that gets them going, how impressed you were with the pitching performances and the overall play yesterday. I mean, Pollock hitting a big home run off of Aroldis Chapman and T.A. silencing the crowd after he was hearing the Boo Birds in the second game of that doubleheader. You are free to jump in and talk White Sox with us, 312-332-3776. How do you think the Kyler Murray thing ultimately ends? He's not going to show up for OTAs that start in Arizona. What, like, ultimately, and he wants a new contract, right? He's pretty adamant, I think, about that. Good luck trying to figure out the proper way to pick Kyler Murray, considering the up-and-down nature of his career so far, or at least the great first halves followed by the horrendous second halves. And
this
it's like a Kyler Cliff Kingsbury thing, it seems to be. Yes, this will be going into year 4, Yurk.
And he wants to get paid right now.
And I think sure seems that way. What else could it be?
I think the way it ends up working is they won't have to pay him for the next 2 years. You know what I'm saying? As far as the contracts that are in place won't get replaced. There'll just be a signing bonus that gets added to their ultimate number and the guaranteed money that they'd agreed to over the course of, say, the next 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see an age 24, if they signed a 4-year contract extension, it'd actually be 6 years on that deal. So he would probably be 30 by the time he saw another contract again. Just trying to time all this out. 9-5 last year as a starter in 14 games.
8-8 the year before that. And they've had these great starts, and then they kind of fall off a table.
And they find a way to plummet.
Yeah.
How do I think this is going to end?
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to get paid, he's going to have to play.
Yeah.
That's how this is going to end this year. If he wants to get paid, he's going to have to play. Depends how close they are already to what they want to do. You know, maybe they said, listen, we want you to be our quarterback, but it's not going to happen this year. Now, they picked up the fifth-year option, I'm assuming. Doesn't that decision come down the plate? It had to be made. I thought it had to be made before this year.
Right, that must
have. Yeah, they probably picked up that fifth-year option. That's the decision they made. Congratulations go out to him. But now they've got to go about the business of trying to figure out exactly what the value is. You can't pay Kyler Murray $50 million. You can't give him a Patrick Mahomes contract.
See, he hasn't done what Patrick Mahomes did in the first 3 years.
Right.
Whether that's all on Kyler or this or that, well, Patrick Mahomes is lucky he's with
Aaron.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And what Mahomes proved was, an MVP season and what, three straight trips to the NFC, the AFC Championship game, right? And a Super Bowl. Like, it, you can't get that. I'm with you. You can't.
You cannot pay a quarterback that kind of money if he hasn't done that. There's $50 million quarterbacks, and then there's $35 million quarterbacks. There's $35 million quarterbacks, then there's $25 million quarterbacks. And then there's Baker Mayfield.
Oof, poor Baker.
Who is stuck in a situation where nobody wants to pay him $18 million.
Poor Baker. And
that's his fifth year guaranteed option. So unless he's willing to take something more in the $40 million, $38 million range, unless he's willing to do that, this is one of those things that's going to result in him coming in late.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, ultimately, he's going to have to play. He's not going to Le'Veon Bell this thing. Right. He's got to play.
He's going to get fined.
Right.
So, and that fine is more damaging nowadays than it's ever been. So,
is it?
Yeah.
With what's bargained?
I mean, unless $38 million a year is a pretty damn good contract.
How much?
$38 million a year.
Yeah.
So $160 million. You're not going to get Mahomes' money. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think you can.
Exactly. Kirk Cousins didn't deserve the money he got. But he got the money.
But he got it somehow.
Because he was a free agent, and he can go where he wants. You're not a free agent. Your leverage that you have over the club is not that grand.
Right. And you're not, you know, you're a 500 quarterback. Not that he's not good, because he is.
He's a very good quarterback.
But you're a 500
not
quarterback.
A superstar quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not.
No. And that's who I'm comparing guys to now. It's not Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. It's old school. Those guys are gone. Mahomes is the guy that you look at now when I compare quarterbacks to.
Probably not even Josh Allen, right? Considering the year Josh had going into, I'm trying to think, that might have been after his fourth year, but
that
was after his third year. Josh got paid because he delivered what he did in that third year, Yurko, with a 13-3 record, 37 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
You're also talking about a team that hasn't had really a quarterback since Jim Kelly left in 1999.
Yeah.
You know, 98.
So they got a little more depth.
Yeah,
don't let him get away.
Yeah, we can't let this one get away. And we took a chance on him, and everybody kind of thought we were nuts. And all of a sudden, here he is,
so
paying off like a bandit.
So in year two, Josh Allen goes 10-6. They made the playoffs, right? Did they beat the Colts in the first round and then lose in the second round? I feel like they did. Let me double check that. 2019, Yurko. I'm sorry. 2019, his second year. They go 10-6. I might have the timeline of that wrong. So as far as what they did in the postseason. But he threw 20 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. Right. He backs it up with 2020, where he goes 13-3, 37-10. Now that I think about it, I think that's when they beat the Colts. Maybe they lost in the next round. But I'll double check. And then last year, of course, they had the heartbreak, and they had Kansas to be sitting City at home when it was all said and done. Like, how did we not win that game? 11-6, 36 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. But he got paid, you know, after that third year, because a 10-6 season, a 13-3 season with, what, 57 touchdowns to 19 interceptions. And I'm sorry, Kyler Murray hasn't quite done that yet.
He has not done that yet.
I don't think he's going to get the Mahomes or Allen deal.
Why can't there be a range of contracts at the quarterback position? Why is it if you're a starting quarterback in the league, you got to make $50 million? It's not happening.
Is it because it's so damn hard to find good ones and it's such a it's the most important position? I don't know.
Right. They haven't given Tua a contract down to Miami yet, have they? No. They've got to make decisions on Tua also.
You want to talk about waiting.
Those days are coming where you've got to make it. Now they've given him to Tariq Hill, right?
Yes, they have.
They've given him weapons now.
Yeah, here's Tyreek Hill.
Let's see what we have.
Go throw 50 touchdowns like Mahomes did.
Yes. All of a sudden, you're going to see what you have. They're going to have to make a decision on him, too, like Cleveland had to make a decision.
And Cleveland was right.
Chicago made a decision.
Cleveland was right on Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
The Bears were right on Mitch Trubisky.
Yes.
And those are like extreme circumstances, maybe in terms of where Kyler is. Like, Kyler's better. I think he is a little bit more proven, and you'd feel safer paying him. Like, I'd pay Kyler Murray before I ever paid Baker Mayfield. And I've said that, you know, I've never been much of a Baker fan. But right.
And I think they want to pay him. I think they want to pay him. Arizona wants to pay him.
Yeah.
But Arizona doesn't want to give him $50 million. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that.
I want to take some calls on this, and also there was a report late in the weekend or late last week about the Bears and potentially one of their disgruntled players. It comes from a reporter that we always say, "Man, take it with a grain of salt," but we'll discuss it anyway. Yurko's actually been on this in a way for quite some time this offseason, but we'll explain that when we come back. 312-332-3776. We'll return in just 2 minutes.